Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution of the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength Is Not For Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.
Welcome to the Capital Connection. I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us today's special guest, Nancy Zimpfer, who has served as Chancellor of the State University of New York in the system since 2009. Chancellor Zimpfer, what a pleasure to see your smiling face back here.
It's great. Well, thank you very much.
Great
glad
to
be
see
here.
You've had a baptism of fire. You have, you have really done some amazing things. And let me start with something called the Research Foundation. You've totally restructured the Research Foundation. What does a Research Foundation do? Why is it so important?
Well, the SUNY Research Foundation really is the switching station for all of our research grants and contracts, much of which comes. We bring in about $1 billion a year from the federal government, and we have other kinds of research as well. So we oversee those grants. We now are expanding our reach to make sure we're submitting grants. You can't get money if you don't put in a proposal.
Right.
And also, most importantly, the Research Foundation is connecting one campus to another, creating innovation hubs around the state so that our campuses are working well together. So we have a new president of the Research Foundation, Tim Killeen, and he was at what we call the NSF, the National Science Foundation. He's an atmospheric scientist. He has managed big research enterprises. And so we've really turned a corner. It's been very exciting.
Well, he wrote a progress report on what the Research Foundation was doing, and I was blown away by how effective and how important it is. In the past, there have been some people who, and this predates you, but who were on the payroll, and we wondered what they were doing there. But
yeah,
that kind of accountability is very important, isn't it?
Well, actually, what I did before I even came on the job is bring a small team in to look at 7 or 8 different aspects of SUNY's operation so that when I got here, I would really know what to prioritize as first steps. So I brought a few people in who really understand how research foundations work in other major institutions around the country, and they gave me some suggestions. So that was 2009, and by 2010, I had a full-on external review of the Research Foundation. And what the big shift is that we were previously run as an administrative service, a bit more bureaucratic. Now we're run as the research arm of the State University of New York. And we're being run by a guy, Dr. Tim Killeen, who's had such experience in running centers and big research projects. So the key is we put an academic, a researcher, and a research administrator at the helm. So he knows research, he knows good research, he knows how to monitor research, and to, you know, we talk about tech transfer, to commercialize bright ideas into businesses that can serve New York.
I know that you have been very strong on thinking about SUNY as a system. You know, the concept that I taught at New Paltz for 40 years, I taught at SUNY at Albany, these places don't have a lot that I see to do with each other. I think that's been a goal of yours, hasn't it?
Absolutely. And toward that end, we've actually put a new term on Wikipedia called systemness. And we put a fancy definition with it because Wikipedia requires that. But it really is that the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And if we have 64 campuses from community colleges to medical schools, we can find more effective ways to work together. Now, not everybody across the country really thinks that systems are value added. So come November 8th and 9th, we're going to have a big debate in New York City, a SUNY conference that brings national and international experts together to weigh in on what's the value added of a system, and conversely, how can system bureaucracies get out of the way so that campuses can work together more effectively?
And you hope that that will happen? Or, I mean, as a professor, I can tell you all of my life, I watched professors get their backs up about, you know, their own territories.
Right. Me too. I was a professor.
I know that. So how do you deal with that?
Well, I think, first of all, with a great sense of humor, there are ways that systems can provide help without taking away the identity and the uniqueness of each of our campuses. We can save money through a concept we call shared services by sharing staff and sharing back office services, but keeping the identity of the campus intact. And I think that's the essence of systemness. But you know what? I want these academics, these scholars in higher education to have at it. We're going to have a fencing match. And I am confident that in the end, we will resolve that systems can add value and should.
Nancy Zimfer, how much does it cost a kid to go to college in New York State at the State University?
Well, our tuition is in the range of $5,200. And now you say a semester or a year, and yeah. I say a year.
Right.
And we know that that's only the tuition for residential campuses. They have room and board and miscellaneous necessary expenses like books. So that rounds for a four-year comprehensive college maybe to look more like $15,000 to $20,000. But if you just look at our tuition, we are the lowest tuition in all of New England and in the lowest quartile of tuitions around the country.
And how do the poorest of us get to go? Because, you know, in some cases, you know, $500 isn't that much money, but $500 for some families means you go or you don't go.
That is absolutely the case. And so, of course, a very high priority for us is to attract students who are high need, low income. They have access, immediate access to the Pell Grants. And so there's a form you have to fill out. And amazingly, in this country, still only about 50% of the students who could fill out this form called the FAFSA form to get the Pell Grants don't do it. So we're working really hard at getting our students to, even in high school where we have relationships, fill out the form, apply for the Pell. And then, of course, the state of New York has this amazing tuition assistance program. So really and truly, we are all about helping students who don't have the finances. And we then have loans that are available through the federal government or elsewhere. And we've just initiated this really is a way to talk to students about how much it costs to go to college. We're calling it the Smart Track campaign. And we're all over the web and using mentoring sessions to say, this is the true cost of college. Nothing hidden. All secrets out on the web. Here's what it would cost if you take out loans. Here's what you'd have to pay back, because we want more of our students to graduate totally debt-free, and already 40 to 50% do. So we want the other half of our population to be real smart about what it costs, even though we are the lowest tuition, and how we'd pay back, how they'd pay back loans if they have to take them out.
You know, my wife has a doctorate. I have a doctorate. My children have a doctorate. I don't really watch out for them, but I can tell you this much. When we get some kind of a Medicare form in the mail, we can never quite understand
right.
it.
Well, we've had that trouble.
So, with the FAFSA form.
It's been a very high priority of Secretary Duncan to simplify this form. But still, the ratio in a big city of guidance counselor to students can be as high as 1 to 700. Guidance counselor trying to help 700 students fill out forms, talk to their parents, educate their parents. So we've started another initiative through SUNY, the early college high school concept. It's called Smart Scholars, and it's for first-generation students, teaching them in high school how to get ready for college.
Well, you know, I think there can be no more important work than that for you. Let me move on, if I can, Nancy Zimfer, to SUNY as an economic engine. I know that Governor Cuomo is very concerned with that, and I know that you've been laying down the law about how important that is to your various campuses. How does that work? What are you doing?
Well, first of all, and you would appreciate this as a faculty member, there is this dualistic challenge of education for education's sake or education for career. And I think some might worry that because we have so openly declared that we are about New York's economic recovery and the quality of life of our citizenry, that we have had, as you might imagine, a number of debates about whether we're deserting our fundamental mission of educating students. I'm not a dualistic thinker. I don't dichotomize. I think that's, isn't there a book called The Tyranny of the Or?
What do you mean by that? I'm sorry. Let me pursue that with you. You mean that people feel that you have to do one or the other, but
exactly.
You can't do both.
But you can't do both. But of course, as a parent, you're not only interested in having your child be smart and capable of having a healthy and positive adult life, but most of us assume that our children will contribute to society by holding a job and supporting their family. The empty nest syndrome is alive and well. And so I see these as intimately related. So yes, SUNY has declared that it believes it can be. It is an economic engine for the state of New York. Sometimes we say in more audacious terms, the economic engine. We're in 64 communities. We're 15 miles from 95% of all New Yorkers. We employ people. We, our students and our faculty and staff, spend money. But more importantly, we create jobs. We are entrepreneurs. We have ways of doing research that keeps big companies staying in New York and coming to New York. Look at our nanoscale science and look at what we're doing in energy and what we're doing in the life sciences. So we add value. And SUNY is all about narrowing that into a set of indicators that shows our various constituency exactly how we add value. So that's our big, hairy, audacious goal.
But Nancy Ziffer, tell me about the whole idea of entrepreneurialism and SUNY. Could you give our listeners some idea about what you mean by that?
Well, first of all, we need a shorter, smarter word for entrepreneurial. It's not an easy thing. It doesn't roll right off the tongue. But the point of it is, we really need to teach all of our students or give our students the opportunity to learn how to be creative and independent and how to take ideas to market. And we know, frankly, from the Silicon Valley that the shortest way toward increasing New York's entrepreneurial capacity is to link students and faculty with a real live inventor, someone who has his or her own business that's created even failures, but ultimately successful businesses, and get as many of our students and faculty creating the fluidity between university and small, medium, and large businesses. And that's not easy because, you know, we've had these silos and bracketed experiences. But now, in fact, the recent proposal approved by Governor Cuomo at the University of Albany for the NY SUNY 2020, the entire focus is on building an entrepreneurial climate for New Yorkers, our students and citizens of New York.
Well, you know, I never knew that I'd live to see this because I love it. But I've always believed that you could teach theory within the context of teaching somebody how to do something. So when I started my SUNY Legislative Gazette system, the idea was that people came up, they did their last semester here, but we taught them social studies, social science, within the context of what they were doing. I think I've never met a student who in the bottom of their heart doesn't really think that I'm concerned about what my place in the world is going
to be. And what my contribution will be. Well, if we were to create an umbrella of applied learning, there are lots of other terms for it, but I really think it's all about what we call service learning, where you have embedded field experiences in credit-bearing courses. I'm a big fan of co-op. This is where you have a regularized paid internship. Huge, high percentages of our students who do have a co-op experience get hired by one of their employers in that internship. You make it legitimately embedded in the curriculum so that students see that this applied learning experience is really required, legitimate, I'll get credit. And then we have all kinds of informal internships that we're going to try to encourage. And you see, this back to systemness, what's so fabulous about SUNY, and the reason I ran to this opportunity, was you get a good idea, you've got this great big system, you can take a good idea to scale.
Isn't there some professor who will say, oh, that's not learning for learning's sake, that's vocationalism. How do you deal with that? Do you have any patience for it?
Oh, yeah, I do, because you have to have a lot of patience in this job. And we have the conversation, and I think in some instances we might agree to disagree, but here's the really critical part. In 21st century skill talk, where people are talking about the skills that are needed for the 21st century workforce, they always talk about, probably wrongly called, soft skills. What are the soft skills that every good employee needs? Well, the ability to work in teams, the ability to be creative, the ability to be a better communicator, the ability to take collective responsibility for outcomes. So actually, those are some pretty hard skills. And I do think that our general education curriculum, the arts and humanities, as well as the sciences, teach people those skills. So if you have a bold and comprehensive general education curriculum, generally the freshman, sophomore year of college, add to that the focus of a major in a profession or in one of the disciplines of the general education curriculum, you're going to need and be successful if you have creative skills, communication skills, team working skills, and that's education for education's sake, and that is also education for career.
Has the legislature and the governor given you enough money to operate SUNY?
Well, we always want for more, but I do think that the relationship with Governor Cuomo, the executive branch, and the legislature, both the Assembly and the Senate, has been a very fair and productive relationship. We know that the state, even this year, is still in a deficit position. Now, it's $1 billion instead of $8 or $9 billion, but you can't expect to ask for everything you always wished you could have, but rather an exchange. If you invest in us in this way, we will give this state a return. And I really think that's where we are.
For a while in New York, when I first came up here in the 1960s, there was a tremendous competition between the independent or private sector and the public sector. There was also a competition between the city university, defended handily by the Assembly, and the state university, which was the upstate constituency, defended by the Senate. How does one manage to stay out of those shark-infested waters?
Well, calling it a love fest would be a bit of an overstatement, but I am so gratified. Ever since I came, I've had, personally, as a chancellor, great relationship with Matt Goldstein, who has been the chancellor of the CUNY system for almost 15 years. Great relationships with, for instance, David Scorton, who's the president of Cornell. Of course, we have four SUNY-related colleges on that campus. But for the last 2.5 years, the major research universities of SUNY and the research offices of CUNY and the major independent research universities have been at the same table talking collectively about how we could help New York advance. And frankly, that was a conversation that didn't exist. But on the occasion of my coming to New York, colleagues at IBM said, well, why don't we see if we can't foster a table where we can have more integrated discussions? Other businesses, PepsiCo, Xerox, joined IBM in this conversation, at Pfizer. And so we have an ongoing dialogue around this very thing, the commercialization and tech transfer and what's good for New York. So I really think the collaborative environment probably is as strong as it has been in recent history.
I mean, I remember a number of years ago, I had a discussion with a college president down in the Hudson Valley, a private college president, who looked askance at the state university, and he made his claims like, if the state gave me the money, I could educate them faster than SUNY could. And so I won't mention his name, but he was the president of Bard, still is. And so has that changed? Do you think that's better now?
Well, I really think we've been working at it. I will tell you this, a number of our students from SUNY still transfer to independent colleges. I mean, we'd like more of them to stay home, but I think we've worked well in articulating the first 2 years with the second 2 years. We are working on some teacher education projects together. We are working on, remember, solving the remediation challenge across these lines, CUNY and SUNY and the independent colleges. So I have had nothing but positive working relationships. And I'm a collaborator at heart. I believe that this concept of collective impact, we have to all be working together to have the impact that this society really needs. And so that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Is this job hard?
Well,
is your job hard?
I eat my Wheaties. It's comprehensive and complex. That's what I notice most about it. Because really, it's a distributed network. We do a lot of work by video and teleconferencing, but last year, we put 45,000 miles on our little Chevy Tahoe as we moved from campus to campus.
Well, I wanted to stop you there because I've only got 4 minutes to go. But the new look in higher education is not having places, but having, you know, it's all done online. Harvard is announcing it. I believe Yale is announcing it. Now, we've built at the State University, I'm very proud of it, these beautiful campuses. Was that a mistake? Should we not have had them when all we need is a couple of computers? And do we need places?
Well, I think this goes back to the tyranny of the or. Because I think what we have is an emerging hybrid system of education where the residential campus will always thrive, largely because 18-year-olds tend to like to leave home and go to campus. And the residential experience is a cultural experience. But increasingly, while a student is taking courses on campus, he or she may very well be taking one online course for something they didn't take when they should have taken it, or because they want to do some applied program with some more theoretical program. SUNY will be making an announcement shortly about our massive online capabilities. But I do really think that we have these marvelous facilities. They need to be invested in. As you well know, we have a deferred maintenance challenge, but these campuses exist, and they are, for many communities, the heart of that community. So we need them. We need the physical presence. But now we see all these options online. I think we will coexist.
Tell me a little bit more about the online. I think our listeners would be interested in terms of whether or not you need a place to do online, or whether or not the construction of, you know, SUNY campuses is passé.
Well, I think we have a model of online that has a mentor with it. So you can sit in the comfort of your home and take certain courses, but the role of a mentor or a faculty member is critically important. And quite frankly, the group experience, which can be done in a chat room, but like we're talking today, is much more interactive when it is in person. I am just so optimistic that we're going to have this blend that's going to take us to new places, but always value that residential experience.
So when you look forward to, how many years have you been Chancellor Down?
Well, I say it this way, I'm in my fourth year.
Fourth year, and that's a lot. And, you know, a tremendous amount of pressure on you. So when you look forward to this year, this coming year, starting in January, what do you think the greatest challenges you'll have will be?
Well, I still think the great challenge is integrating our capacity to do the greater good. It's really hard to get all of us out of our silos and working collaboratively together here in Albany or across the county or across the capital region and across the state. And then, of course, we have many national and international colleagues. So integration, I'll come back to this lovely word, systemness, that's our highest priority.
And do you ever get reports of college presidents and not like what you hear because they all work for you?
Oh, I can only imagine what they might be saying about me, because I was a college president and I served in two systems, and I said some pretty funny things about those guys at system. But since I know everything they're saying, because it's probably something I've said, I don't let it bother me.
But what about the other way around? Do you ever see an underperforming college president?
Well, there is a lot of interest on the part of the SUNY Board of Trustees that we have regular annual assessments, evaluations, or reports from our presidents. It varies by sector. And increasingly, we are going to be very focused on presidents meeting their targets. When they set goals, What goal are they trying to achieve and what's the progress? In fact, we have a two-day meeting with our presidents in December to discuss their targets and our collective vision for SUNY.
Well, Chancellor Nancy Zimpfer, I can't tell you how we love having you here. It's very nice of you to come into the studio. I know how busy you are. Nancy Zimpfer is Chancellor of the State University of New York. Nancy, thanks again.
It's just a privilege. Thank you, Alan.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. Ian Pickus is producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC, Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength Is Not For Hurting campaign. Online at nyscasa.org.